knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
You know who he is?
Oh, he's Dean. He's definitely Dean, and he's Dean Richards to top that.
That's what it says on my driver's license.
Mine too.
Dean Richards?
Yeah. It says Dean Richards on my driver's license.
Wait a minute.
You have a typo, Bill.
I might have a typo. On Facebook, and I don't know if this is a new thing or they just put this up again, but they show everybody who works on the WGN TV morning news pictures of them when they were like 7 or 8 or 9 years old.
Yes.
And there's a picture of you up there, and you were 7 or 8 or 9 years old.
We did, what's it called? Flashback Thursday.
Throwback Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Flashback Thursday.
Become
my dad. What do you kids call this? What's this flashback fumbledy mumbledy junk? Yeah, we did one of those today, throwback. And that is my picture from sixth grade.
Can I say, this is what my first thought was when I saw it, because I had never seen you as a child before. And I thought to myself, Dean looks angelic, but with a slightly devilish twist.
I've heard that a lot today.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have said that a lot today.
Yeah.
I would say that's pretty accurate.
Is it? Yeah.
That year in particular, I probably got in the most trouble I ever got in school in sixth grade. Because there were like a core of three of us.
Yeah.
You know, like, three best friends. And somehow one of us got, got a job working in the school's office.
Yeah.
And was able to procure the teacher's home phone numbers.
Oh, valuable information.
So one night at my house, nobody was home.
Before call waiting was around.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or ID.
I thought that I was going to, at an early age, use my vocal skills early. My voice was low early. So we called the teachers. We didn't do Prince Albert in the Can or Is Your Refrigerator Running? I don't even know what we did, but basically the voices all sounded like that.
Oh.
Like we were disguising the voices.
Yeah.
And, they'd get mad and hang up, and, we'd hang up the phone laughing, rolling around hysterically on the floor that, hey, we got Mrs. So-and-so. That was funny. We really got. But then, of course, the next morning going to school, we could not help but brag about our accomplishments.
Aww. That's your downfall.
Somebody ratted on us. And
yeah, you did.
Well, we did rat on ourselves. That's very true, bragging about our conquest. And, did I get in trouble.
Sure.
Got in trouble, Dean. School invasion of privacy. My sixth grade teacher, who may have been marching in Charlottesville. That's how mean she was.
Oh, no.
That's how nasty she was. She was going to call the FBI on me.
Jeez. Wow.
And,
took it very seriously.
My dad's belt got a really good workout that summer.
You should have said that you were with the school district and that classes were canceled in the morning. There are no school classes in the morning. Did you even think of that?
No. We were just more about making funny voices.
Oh.
Here's the difference between sixth grade boys and sixth grade girls. I had access to passes to get your friends out of class, and I could forge my mom's signature pretty well, and that's what we did.
Oh, that's
we didn't
brilliant.
Prank call teachers.
That's genius.
It was stupid prank. It was such, if it was something good, like, a good scheme, we needed Bill in our evil cabal.
I would have been happy to have helped with your evil cabal.
Yeah.
I love evil cabals.
Hello, is Mrs. Smith there?
Right.
You could have been the original Bart Simpson with the prank phone calls to Mo.
We wanted to hear them perplexed, and then we'd start laughing and hang up.
But that bit you just did was funnier than the Jerky Boys. Hey, here's some good news, Dean. I know that we need good news now more than ever, and Daniel Craig will be James Bond again, huh?
That is good news, I think.
Yeah.
Do you think it is?
I think it's great
news. Did you
news.
Have any doubt? Come on. I know he said no, but he's not going to walk away from that.
Well, on Stephen Colbert the other night, he said that quote that he made, that he'd rather, rip out his eyes?
Yeah, or something like that.
Something like that, than play James Bond again. He said, he explained it, because Stephen Colbert called him on it, and he said that he was asked 2 days after they finished shooting the last James Bond movie, and he was completely wiped out. And just, he responded poorly.
Right.
And should have been more diplomatic. But that's what he said, and that's what he said. So, you know, he apologized for that. But he said that he's definitely going to do one more movie.
And that's it.
Yeah. And he
one
said,
more and out.
He said, that's out. One and out. And it'll be out December of 2019, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what the date was. They haven't named it yet. 25th James Bond movie. This makes him the third most used actor as James Bond. Sean Connery did 7. Roger Moore did 7. And this will be the 5th one for Daniel Craig.
Wow. Wow. You know what's cool about him, Dean? I don't know if you picked up on this too, but as he's sitting there with Stephen Colbert, now keep in mind, when he plays James Bond, there is not a trace of smile in him. He's as stern as can be.
Right.
He's always solemn, always has a grim look on his face. You could tickle him, he would laugh, but he wouldn't smile. But when he's sitting there,
next time I interview him,
tickle him.
But
when he's sitting there with Stephen Colbert, he's nothing but smiles.
Yeah, yeah, he was enjoying himself, and he and his wife, Rachel Weisz, apparently, they all have a nice relationship because they were kind of teasing around that she flirts with Stephen Colbert, and Colbert, you know, flirts with her.
Yeah.
So you know, it was nice. It was nice to see him in it's such a comfortable interview, because especially the last couple of times that we interviewed him for probably the James Bond movies, might have been something else. He just seems so uncomfortable. And
does
so,
he really? Yeah.
The very first time I interviewed him was when he was Paul Newman's son in Road to Perdition.
Oh, right.
And it was right here in Chicago. I don't remember where we interviewed him, but you know, he was the sort of the guy that really nobody was that interested in talking to from the movie. Because you had Paul Newman.
I was at that same junket, and I was as you were saying that, I was thinking, I remember turning that one down, because I talked to everybody on the movie except for him, because nobody knew who he was at the time.
Right. At the time, nobody knew who the guy was. There, you know, you got Paul Newman, you got Tom Hanks, Jude Law.
Yeah.
The kids were from Road to Perdition were all interesting and kind of a crucial part of this, and then there was this guy who played Paul Newman's son.
Nobody was in that one.
Nobody
at all.
Had an idea. So they said, do you want to talk to him? I honestly felt bad for the guy that nobody was talking to him. So I was like, yeah, I mean, it's not going to kill me to sit down with him for 7 minutes and
Dean,
have a
the kids, those two kids from the movie, Tom Hanks' sons, nobody had heard of them, but everybody went, well, this will be fun. These two kids, they've never been in
we'll
movies before. That room was jam-packed, and you walked past Roger Craig's room, and it was just Dean and a cleaning woman. That was all that was in the room. Right.
Daniel Craig, not
Daniel
Roger
Craig.
Yeah, and even the cleaning woman wouldn't talk to him.
Right.
She wouldn't even...
Sad.
When she walked in the room, she wouldn't go, housekeeping.
Nothing.
She wouldn't even do that.
Right. It was awful.
Yeah, poor guy. Oh, that's... Hey, I felt bad for him. But it's always been very pleasant to talk to him, and he's always had a pretty good sense of humor, and we've been able to goof around a little bit, except the last couple of movies. Where
I wonder why.
He just looked like he was kind of stressed out and sick of talking to us dopes.
Oh, no. Oh,
did Bond
no.
go to his head, maybe?
I didn't get that sense. I think a lot of these people, you know, like Harrison Ford and some of the others that have reputations of not being good interviews, my observation is they're not good interviews when you're not a good interviewer.
Oh, that's true.
If you ask stupid questions, ridiculous things, and believe me, I have seen some unbelievably embarrassing things that... thank goodness, most of the time it's somebody else.
Right.
I'm not going to say I've never done it. I'm sure I have. I'm sure if you go back and listen to some of my early ones, I've thrown in some whoppers of idiot questions. But I seriously don't know how they sit through some of these interviews of the most inane, ridiculous questions. And I'm not sure that I would really be able to keep my patience.
It would be hard to sit through
if
that.
If you're going to talk to hundreds of people all the time and... they're asking ridiculous things.
Boxers or briefs?
Yeah, that one's going to come up.
That's a good one.
Hasn't Bruce Willis got surlier as time has gone on?
Yes,
he has, right?
Yep. Yeah, he has. Much more reserved.
Yeah.
Less giving, and you know, in part, like you really have to engage him.
Yeah, yeah.
I find that, and I'll bet you guys do too, because you guys do fantastic interviews when you have people, and you have to find something to engage the person in the interview, because otherwise for them it's just, okay, I got to spend a half an hour here.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's see what happens. If you don't find some way to kind of get them excited, it's not going to be very interesting for anybody.
But sometimes it's difficult. If you have a guest who's just given yes and no answers.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Jerry Lewis.
Oh, my God. That's classic.
You've seen that clip of him, right?
Oh, where
that poor kid interviewing him. Yeah. It was not a great interviewer, I'll say that much.
Right. Yeah.
But he was so mean.
Right.
I don't know. I don't get it. I interviewed Jerry Lewis Weinstein, and it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. He couldn't have been nicer, but then I've seen clips of him with other people where you just go, oh, no.
Right. I've had him both ways.
Yeah.
I've had him where he's really nice, and I've had him where I just...
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, he can completely be a nightmare. I don't know if I ever told you the Tommy Lee Jones story. The very first time, I had heard that he was an incredibly difficult interview.
Yeah.
And that he famously gave one-word answers, which is, you know, no interviewer wants to hear that their subject is only going to give one-word answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I came prepared with a lot of questions that I figured, well, he can give me one-word answers. I'm not going to run out of
right.
questions.
Good.
So as I was walking into the room to interview him, a young journalist was walking out, a young female journalist, probably about 20, 25 years old, was walking out in tears. Ugh. She was crying. And as I walked into Tommy Lee Jones, he was sitting there laughing hysterically.
Oh, no.
Going, boy, I sure got her good.
Oh.
Did not. He was laughing with his people. Boy, she just could not handle it. And he thought it was hilarious that he shook her to the core.
Oh.
And I just thought, that is...
That's terrible.
That's just mean. That's just mean.
It is just mean.
So mean. And he... So when I sat down with him, and he's given me the one-word answer business, expecting to shake me to the core, because as the interviewer, you want to fill in the quiet spots.
Of course.
Yeah.
You want to keep the conversation going. And he wasn't saying anything, and either was I. And he was staring at me, and I was staring at him. And it was just a staring contest. And I ran the interview as it was. It's hilariously funny to watch, because I ask what I think is a reasonably interesting question. He goes, nope.
Oh.
And he's just staring at me, and I'm not saying anything. And
Dean, could you say to him at the beginning, Mr. Lee Jones, could you just give me one-word answers? I would appreciate it. The shorter the answer, the better, just to see what he would do.
Right.
Then he'd be singing like a canary.
Right.
Could you give me half-word questions? Maybe a contraction?
Right.
Part of a contraction?
Just a nod. If you could just nod up and down.
The big
left
question
and right.
is, did he walk out of there crying? Did you get him?
That would be great. Then you got something. Dean Richards is our guest. He will tell you which movies are coming out this weekend next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dean Richards is our guest. Speaking of Daniel Craig, and I did say Roger Craig earlier, he managed the San Francisco Giants. As it turns out, I just checked his IMDb page. He never played James Bond in a single movie.
Not yet.
Speaking of Daniel Craig, he's in a new movie called Logan Lucky. Is that the right name?
Logan Lucky.
What is Logan Lucky?
Logan Lucky is...
a dumb name.
The two big movies that are opening this week, both are kind of genres, formats that we've seen before. Logan Lucky is a heist movie, and we've seen a million of these heist movies, you know, like The Ocean's 11 or...
Yeah.
I think one of the best movies of this year, which is essentially a heist movie, Baby Driver, which is, I think, top five of the year.
Wow.
Maybe even higher.
Yeah.
But this Logan Lucky is a heist movie where everything goes wrong. And the people...
The story of Bill's life, yep. If he was a robber.
That's right.
Left Lucky.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie where there are a bunch of country folk, and they decide that they're going to pull a scam at the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a stretch to think of our rural community and NASCAR in the same sentence, but that's where that goes. But it's this kind of an Appalachian take on a heist movie, but very clever. Very funny, very well written. It's not it most very definitely is Appalachian stereotypes, but it's written in such a clever way. I actually really enjoyed this. Really, nobody knows what they're doing in the movie. The people in the heist crew are a one-armed bartender, a beautician, a safe cracker, and just like dopey, bumbling, stumbling numbskulls that I found very, very entertaining. In addition to Daniel Craig, or as we like to call him in show business circles, Roger.
Roger Craig.
Roger Craig.
Yeah.
You got a Channing Tatum in this movie. You've got an Adam Driver from Star Wars.
Oh,
you've got
Baby Driver's brother.
Katie Holmes, older brother.
Wow, this is star-studded.
Yeah, it's
Elvis's granddaughter, right?
Is Elvis's granddaughter in the movie?
Riley Keough?
I did not notice that in the credits.
I thought she was in there.
Okay, all right.
Maybe not.
I enjoyed,
she's in Roger Craig's movie.
Right. She's in the new Roger
Craig. There's a whole development with the Roger Craig Production Corporation that just, honestly, just got started in the last 5 minutes. So I'm giving this a Dean's List B.
I'm glad. And it's Steven Soderbergh, right? Who said he wasn't going to direct anymore?
Steven Soderbergh, I forgot to mention.
But he did.
Yep. Directed it. And I think this, didn't he do the first Ocean's movie?
Yes. Yeah.
And he did that sort of brilliant Behind the Candelabra, the Liberace movie. He's so good. And this is so different from everything else that he does. He's just such a good director.
Good.
It is Riley Keough who plays the Logan Brothers hairdresser's sister, Melly, the only woman in this group. And that's Elvis's granddaughter.
Elvis's granddaughter. She should put that in the credits.
Yeah, babe. That's my granddaughter.
Lisa Marie's baby girl.
I've been
girl.
Dead for 40 years, but that's my granddaughter.
Yep.
You ever been to Graceland, Bill?
No. Want to go? Let's go.
You don't want to go. I do, and I can't believe I haven't been there yet.
Oh.
I've been there.
It's awesome, isn't it?
I went there expecting the worst, and at the end of the whole thing, I'm standing at Elvis's grave openly weeping.
Is that true?
I was so moved by everything that I saw.
Wow. All right. Maybe I will go.
You should go. Especially, right. I mean, I know you love pop culture.
He doesn't like Elvis.
I'm not
though.
An Elvis fan.
So you shouldn't go.
I went not especially as an Elvis fan. I was assigned to do a documentary.
Yeah.
And I went kicking and screaming because I wasn't especially a fan. Not the way you want to be a fan
if
you're doing a documentary. So I thought, well, this is not going to be a pretty documentary. But when you get down there, you wind up having a new admiration for what Elvis meant to people. Mm-hmm. It may not have meant something to you, but you really realize that it was profoundly meaningful to a lot of people. And I still have, there's souvenir stores everywhere.
Yeah.
I still have a packet of Elvis sweat.
Oh, my God. How much was that?
It might have been $5 or $10.
Ridiculously, oh, not bad.
Ridiculously
well, price
high,
to
considering,
move.
Considering what it is, it's literally like a wet nap you'd get if you went to
a rib
place. But they claim that the water that they use to make the wet naps was infused with some of the sweaty scarves that Elvis used to wear on his neck. So technically, there is Elvis DNA in the...
Oh, that's excellent.
Make an
excellent.
Elvis clone. Will you hurry up? There's your documentary.
There you go. I think I have that someplace, and an Elvis, like a really cheesy Elvis clock.
Oh, that's... Well,
like his hands, his arms. You know,
you made out like a bandit there.
I tried to find the cheesiest stuff I could possibly find.
Sounds like you did.
And believe me, it wasn't that hard.
Dean, do me a favor, because we only have 10 seconds. Just Hitman's Bodyguard.
Ryan Reynolds, Samuel Jackson, take a pass on it.
Not worth it.
It's every movie that you've ever seen where the bad guy is being protected by a bodyguard to get him to a trial because he has to testify or else the case is going to be blown.
Midnight Run.
These two guys, the bodyguard and the guy he's guarding, hate each other's guts. So it's confrontation from the word go. Couldn't be more cliche-filled. I like Samuel L. Jackson and Ryan Reynolds both, but the movie's a disappointment only because of their charisma.
Yeah.
The movie really is... To give it a C is
you're
a,
being kind.
A lot.
That's the kind and gentle Dean Richards, everybody.
That's
watch
me,
him
Tommy
on the
Lee Jones, if you're listening.
Morning News. And such a great job over the weekend with your special.
Oh, thank
Boy,
you.
Was that good. That was
thank
so
you.
Good.
Thank you.